James Bradley told the story of his father's heroic war service on Iwo Jima in his book Flags of Our Fathers. That book became the basis of Clint Eastwood's pair of movies, Flags of Our Fathers and Letters from Iwo Jima. So you might think, that settles that. Now the story's finally been told. But World War II still has secrets to give up. Right beside Iwo Jima, or Iwo To, as the Japanese have decided to call the island, is another island called Chichijima. James Bradley's been researching its past.
Chichijima had radio stations on it, and over a period of a year, aircraft carriers came into the vicinity and launched strikes against it.
What was their mission?
Their mission was to destroy the radio stations on two mountains on the island. Iwo Jima was valuable for its airfields. Chichijima next door was valuable for these radio stations that took messages from Tokyo, strengthened them, and then sent them out to the Pacific. So these flyboys were all from different aircraft carriers. But over a period of a year, a number were shot down, eight captured and beheaded.
You've talked to the Japanese who were involved as interrogators in this, some who were involved in the eventual fate of these flyers. Looking back on it now, it's almost an unfair question to ask, but how do they feel half a century later, looking back on what happened then?
You know, my father was forced to kill. My father was not a killer, and he was forced to kill. He was kill or be killed. All of the Japanese soldiers ordered to kill the flyboys on Chichijima refused. Refusing the emperor's order meant death. It was a very dangerous thing to refuse in the Japanese army. They all refused. They had to be threatened with death themselves before they would behead a flyboy. One of the guys who beheaded a flyboy committed suicide. Another one ran away and got out of his duty. I went back to Japan and interviewed a man who beheaded a flyboy. They had to do it. It was kill or be killed at the age of 19 or 20.
And talking to the Americans who were involved in the fighting in that part of the world, how did they view what the Japanese did to the American flyers who were captured?
You know, in my travels across the United States, I find that the Pacific vets are very settled on both sides of the Pacific. The Japanese vets understand the American boys didn't know Japanese and had to come over and kill them. And the Americans realized that the boys were in a situation called war. I mean, my dad had to go kill Japanese on Iwo Jima. When I landed in Japan as a student in 1974, I was thinking sushi or a date. It had nothing to do with what type of person I was. I was in a different situation than my dad. So within one family, my family, the Bradley family, my dad had to kill or be killed. And truly, I fell in love with Japanese. I took George Bush back to Chichijima. We shot a documentary, and here his bombs were intended to kill Japanese. I united him with some of the Japanese he was trying to kill. These Japanese would have killed him if they got their hands on him. Now they're 78-year-old men with their arms around each other with tears in their eyes.
It's an astonishing world we live in, isn't
it? It makes you wonder, what is this hysteria we call war?
How did you learn what happened to them, finally? I know that there was a trial. Did it come out at the trial, what had happened to these boys?
What's very interesting about this story, you know, this is not us searching for lost flyboys and then we find the Japanese and convict them. It's a story of the Japanese soldiers very outraged at the behavior of their officers, telling the Americans that these officers ordered the beheading of these flyboys. If the Japanese soldiers had not been outraged and come forward, we would not know the story.
How do you decide whether to tell a story like that? On the one hand, the family has presumably come to terms with the death of a family member, and it's been half a century.
Well, first of all, I did the math and realized I did not have to confront any mothers. They're all dead. Number two, my dad was a funeral director, and I just thought, well, I was taught that everyone deserves a dignified burial. These guys, the truth isn't known. I also looked at my dad's picture. He's got a lot of honor because he happened to be in an accidental photo on Iwo Jima. Now there's eight American boys on the next island who knelt down to die. They're heroes and nobody knows who they are. And then I thought, well, if this was my brother who died, would I want to know the facts no matter how gory? So I put that all together, called the families. There was shock, but now that they see the book, I'm getting the word healing from them in letters and conversations and emails. Look it, they never knew the true facts. They were given a cover story, but somehow it was psychically unsatisfying. Now that they know the truth, even this difficult truth, they're talking about their lost flyboy brothers for the first time in a different way, and the healing process has begun.
Have you ever received a satisfactory explanation for why the government decided not to tell the story?
Yes. It isn't the government so much as it's just you and me. You and I come across an atrocity, and you and I as just humans feel that the mothers should not know, and we stamp it secret. A Navy SEAL fell out of a helicopter and was mutilated on the ground by the Taliban. We have beautiful digital imagery of this kid being mutilated. You haven't seen it. The mother hasn't seen it. Do you want to deliver it to the mother?
James Bradley's book about the secrets of Chichijima is called Flyboys.